Yo, 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 welcome back, you sexy lovers, to the Sex Mechanic Podcast. I am your host, the Sex Mechanic, aka Jensen Benoit, aka Mr. Born to Explore, aka Confident Creator, aka The Exception, aka I Did It My Way. And you are tuned in to another episode, episode number 34 to be exact, of the Sex Mechanic Podcast. And today we're talking about what my favorite parts of sex are. And hopefully I'll get some extra commentary from you in the comment section, and y'all could add what y'all want to add. But yeah, happy hump day. Welcome. I don't know what y'all are drinking, but I got some hard cider. That's kind of my drink of choice most of the time. And also that's what I have easily and readily available in the fridge. So that's what I'm drinking. Just want to toast to everybody. Hopefully everybody's had a wonderful day and a wonderful week thus far. Also, hopefully you had a good weekend. I know I did. I really enjoyed myself on the ski trip I went on with some friends to Utah. And honestly, we had a good time. I might have drank a little bit too much on that last night, but we were trying to get rid of a bunch of alcohol. So it was kind of like, we all probably drank too much that last night. But, you know, when you got to get the shit gone and you don't want to throw it out, then it's got to go somewhere. Why not consume it? But that was a fun night. And there was even a video that somebody took where it showed how much fun I had. Even the next morning, I was just leaning. Like, I was leaning in my seat at the airport, waiting to be called on a standby, as a standby on a flight. And you could tell I had a couple drinks that night before, but it was fun. And from what I was told, even from what I didn't remember, I was having a good time. So I'm with it. And hopefully another trip can come up sometime soon. I'm actually thinking about doing a road trip soon. I'll keep y'all posted on how that goes and what I decide on that. But yeah, that's that. As you all pour in, let me go ahead into my appreciation. I'm appreciative for the means to continue talking about and sharing info on sex and relationships. A lot of us go through similar experiences, and some have nowhere to turn, or have no one to discuss these kind of conversations with. So I'm happy that I can serve as a, I don't know how you would call it, a distant person to talk to or discuss things with. And we can discuss things from across the world. I mean, you could tune in wherever you're awake and you have an internet connection. So I'm really thankful for that. Especially when just 20 years ago, like, even though I think YouTube existed 20 years ago, but it had nowhere near the reach that it has right now. And Facebook Live wasn't a thing. IG did not exist. So, you know, I'm really glad to have platforms where I could share information and knowledge and just have discussions about these type of things. Yeah, you don't have to go look for it in a book now. You can find it online. And especially on YouTube, you can find a lot of stuff. That's probably the top searchable place when people want to learn something. So I'm glad to have that at my disposal, along with other platforms that, you know, are at my disposal as well. So that's what I'm thankful for today, or that's what I'm appreciating today. Woo. All right. So, we are talking about sex, which is obviously one of my favorite topics. It's something that I resonate with very closely. And the reason for that is sex is much more than just a physical act to me. It's much more than a physical pleasure or sensation. It serves as a connecting point and a way for me to really like share other parts of me aside from just the physical, just my body. You feel me? So I'm thankful for sex, and I'm going to go through why I'm thankful for it, and my favorite parts about it. Now, if y'all don't mind, for anybody in the chat, let me know what y'all are drinking, because I'm nosy. And of course, don't forget to like, subscribe, and comment on the video. If you like it, of course. If you don't like it, then you don't have to like it. But oh, no, I don't want to do that. And I'm still trying to get 1,000 subscribers, y'all. So obviously, I need y'all help sharing this if y'all can share it. And, you know, getting it out to people that might want to hear what I have to say. All right. So we're going to get into this discussion, this juicy discussion about my favorite parts about sex. On my favorite parts about sex. Yeah. So I'm not going to rate it like number one through whatever. All right. Because a lot of these are my favorites. So they're probably all tied. I can't really name one as my very, very favorite. But the anticipation / buildup is one. And let me explain that. The anticipation or buildup is kind of like the point leading up to a sexual experience. That can be a day before or it can be a week before. But whenever there is a plan to, let's say, see somebody, a sexual partner or some other kind of partner where sex is involved, usually there is an anticipation and there is kind of like this moment where you know it's coming and it gets pretty exciting. You know, you're thinking about it early on before the experience and you're kind of like setting it up. At least that's how I do it. I mean, as soon as I know that there's a date where I'm supposed to get with somebody, the anticipation usually kind of starts around then, and the buildup in my mind, it's kind of, you know, happening in the background. But as it gets closer, like within 2 days of meeting this person, usually that's when I start really going into my imagination and I start going into what I want to do to this person, what I want to share with this person. And it doesn't always go as planned, but certain things I can definitely plan out and I do. And that just excites me even more. And it builds my desire. So by the time the day of comes and gets there, whew, I am ready to go. I'm ready for all the action and all the smoke. So that's kind of how it works for me. And I would use the analogy of filling a water balloon or filling a balloon up with water, right? So the more you fill a balloon up with water, the bigger it gets. So that's kind of like your desire growing and growing and growing as that water balloon is growing and growing and growing. And with that desire, you get, well, for me, I can't speak for everybody, but with that increased desire, I get harder. I get more aroused and I last longer. So I kind of do that because I know if I'm going to see somebody, I want it to be an incredible experience. And part of an incredible experience usually with a woman is being able to last as long as you need to in order for her to get, you know, maximum pleasure out of the situation. So I like to go long. And so that's kind of why I do that. So in regards to that, right, I guess that's why I'm not a big fan of surprise sex for the first time. So like, you know, when you have sex with somebody for the first time and you don't see it coming, like maybe you might meet somebody one night and let's say the sex happens that night, but it wasn't looking like it was going in that direction. It just ended up happening. Those usually are not my best performances. Not to say I do badly, but I spoke about this in past podcast episodes that in the past, I definitely was like 50-50 on those first times because I wouldn't be ready. You know, like it would come and then I'd just be like, I didn't have enough time to, you know, prepare for this. I didn't have enough time to, you know, to get my desire big enough and to really get into a space where I was mentally prepared to last long either. And so those first situations, a lot of times ended up pretty badly, you know, for us. But it's not as bad now, but at the same time, I still prefer when I can see sex coming and I kind of pre-plan for it. And that way I can mentally prepare and really give my best. And the buildup is mostly imagination. And since mine is huge, almost childlike, that works for me. You know, your buildup doesn't have to be days long like mine is, honestly. I mean, that's just kind of how I work. I like to get ahead of things. But for you, you might just want to build up the night of, or, you know, like right before it happens, because the buildup can also be the part before any kind of intercourse. It can be the kissing, it could be the touching, the fondling, the grabbing. And all of that is a part of the anticipation and buildup as well. So what a lot of people call foreplay is what I would also consider buildup, or the buildup to intercourse, which is a lot of fun as well. Something I enjoy thoroughly. And I also realize the importance, because, hey, if you're dealing with a woman, for example, women tend to have a longer arousal time than men. And so you don't want to just get to the house and basically, you know, try to jump right into intercourse. You want to warm each other up and get to a point where both of you are ready to explode and you need to move on to the next level. So it's kind of like just organically letting things move at an organic pace, as opposed to trying to force things to go faster. Slow down and let things go to the next level organically. Because when a woman is ready for any kind of penetration or going to the next step, she will let you know. When she's like really ready to where it's like it's uncomfortable for her. So she's like, nah, we need to move on. Like, what are we doing now? That's enough of that. What are we doing now? When she gets to that level, she'll let you know. And when she does get to that level, it makes whatever the next level is way easier. And it makes it more fulfilling. It makes it more enjoyable and more pleasurable. So slow down and let the buildup happen as long as it needs to happen. And you move on when it's time to move on. All right. All right. So the next part about sex that I really enjoy is the energetic connection. You all have heard me talk about energy and energetic connection in sex and what that means and all that stuff. But I'll go over it again. Our bodies are basically electromagnetic. And therefore, when we come together, there's like actual energy that you can feel when two bodies come together. And when you come together in that type of sexual environment, those charges, those electromagnetic fields are intensified. And we might not be able to see them, but we could definitely feel them. You could feel the charge in your body, or your body having more energy. For example, maybe your hair is raising now, you know, like, and obviously we all know the physiological things that happen to the body, you know, nipples hardening, blood going to other different parts of the body. So all of this is kind of like energy flowing through the body and just perpetuating through different types of body parts. And the part I like about it the most is, I would say the energetic connection, I would compare it to satisfying the spirit. Obviously there's mind, body, and spirit. And I feel like the energetic connection is what satisfies the spiritual side during sex. It's the part that you really can't see, but you could definitely feel happening. It's feeling that bliss on a level that's not a physical or mental level. It goes beyond that. It's something that if you're trying to explain it to somebody, you probably can't explain it. And the way I like to explain it is when you're able to reach a high level of energetic connection, you're able to see God. That's how I like to look at it, or whoever you believe in. You could say universe, source, oneness, whatever. But it's nothing, it's everything short of seeing the light, basically, when you get to that high level of energetic connection. Now, we always have energetic connection between ourselves when people have sex, but there's levels to it. There's definitely levels to it. And what I'm talking about is reaching that high, high level of it and really going to another place, seeing things in a whole different light. That is some intense shit. And again, it's not easy to explain to people, but if you've been there, then you know what I'm talking about. But it's somewhere that I think everybody has the capacity to go to. But the thing about it is you need to be totally free and letting go of everything. That means letting go of things mentally, physically. You can't be like super tense and trying to control the situation too much. You need to be totally, maybe even in a meditative state, if you can get there. You have to be in a place where, I know for me personally, the reason why I haven't reached that high level that I talked to you guys about, where it's just like, this is what sex is about and this is why I do this, is because usually there's some type of relationship ideas going on in my head. What are we? Is this going to change what we are? So if you get in your head, then you could forget about reaching that level. At least that's been my experience. You could still enjoy sex. You could still have a good time, but you definitely cannot have the best time if you are in your thoughts about anything. You literally have to be like just totally free of any kind of worry, concern, or any questioning, and no doubts either. Just be. And I know that's a lot easier said than done, but it can be done. It can be done for sure. So you just have to kind of believe that that space is possible to reach and try to let go during sex, as opposed to, you know, not letting go. So if there's an argument or some shit like that going on before y'all have sex, try to resolve that, because it will affect the sex. It could make for, you know, good makeup sex, or maybe some aggressive sex if somebody's into that. People might be into it. I know some people are. But at the same time, if we're talking about the levels I'm trying to reach, you're not going to get there if you guys have some type of resistance in, you know, in the relationship, or something going on that's unresolved. So that's another thing. Just try to clear everything, you know. If you're in the chakras, then clear the chakras before you go into it. That way, everything is free and everything can just flow all the way through. But it's a spiritual high, basically, when you get to that high, high level of energetic connection. But I'm good with just the regular energetic connection too, because that's usually what I experience during sex, and that's good enough for me. But I would like to get back to that place of super high and very intense energetic connection, because there's nothing like it. And once you've gotten there, sex is not the same. Sex is not the same when you don't get there. Not to say you don't enjoy it, but you've seen something different. You've seen something incredible. You've seen something that most people maybe don't see. And it definitely makes you want to experience that again. And so I'm happy for me, at least, that I don't see a lot more casual sexual relationships in my future. I think I am past that point. I feel like I've proven that to myself, that I'm past that point, and I'm definitely ready for, you know, relationships that are more intimate, not more intimate, more more committed and have a bigger picture goal in mind than just, you know, sex for the moment. I feel like that's not that satisfying anymore. So I look forward to being able to reach that high level again once I'm in a situation where I'm not worried about what the hell the situation even is. Because, you know, that can definitely make things a little weird and not allow you to go to that next level. And I also consider it like being able to express love through sex with that energy. Obviously, love is an energy, and it's an energy that flows a lot easier when there's no resistance in the path of where it needs to flow. All right, the next part. Sensuality, or otherwise known as physical sensation, is also one of my favorite parts about sex. And this is probably one of, you know, a lot of people's favorite parts. This is one of a lot of people's favorite parts as well. I love the touching. I love the tasting. I love feeling. I love seeing. Man, I love doing all that. I love exploring a woman's body with my hands and with my mouth and with my eyes, you know? So it's not just physical touch. There's also, you know, the visual as well. You know, I enjoy looking at all the different curves on a woman's body, you know, from the hips to the thighs, the calves, you know, woman's side, her shoulders, her clavicle, her lips, everything. And yeah, basically everything from the head to the ankles. I don't really be looking at the feet like that because, you know, I'm not really a foot guy. But basically everything from the head to the ankles, I am appreciating and enjoying on a woman with my eyes and also with my hands and my mouth. And so the sensuality of sex is just a really beautiful thing, because I think that really creates more intimacy between the two of you. Intimacy, for those of you who don't know, just means closeness. And you really feel more of a bond and you feel more of a connection when you're keeping contact with some part of your body. I mean, that's why I say hands or mouth, because whenever you are touching your partner, you are transferring energy and you're actually intensifying that energetic connection that I talked about, because you're transferring energy between your or with your touches. And so the more you touch and the more you keep contact with each other, the better. I already went through the different things. I mean, a woman's skin, like the softness of her skin and all that. It's just, for me, I love a woman's anatomy. So it's easy for me to really just use my hands. And what I want to do when I'm in that situation is I want to use my hands to show my appreciation, because she doesn't know what's going on in my head. In my head, I'm just like, man, she's beautiful. Look at her, you know, look at how her breasts just sit up just right. You know, look at how her smile is all beautiful and she's looking sexy with those bedroom sexy eyes. And look at how her shoulders curve and all that other stuff. Like, and I'm looking at details that maybe she doesn't even notice that I notice, but I'm looking at them and appreciating them. And so once I make contact, I am basically speaking through my hands and through, you know, my mouth or my tongue, and basically telling her how much I appreciate who she is and this moment with her, and the fact that I'm able to make contact with her right now, and she's allowing me that honor. And so that's pretty much what it is for me. I'm just happy to be there. And I just show how happy I am and how excited and how much I appreciate the opportunity and you know, just the moment. I say opportunity because, you know, usually, not usually, a woman should decide, you know, in terms of when things are going to happen and when things happen. So when she decides that things are going to happen, I appreciate that she's willing to share that moment with me or allow us to share the moment together. So, yeah, man. And I would say the sensual part, that satisfies the physical. All right. So like the body. So like I said, for the energetic connection, that satisfies the spirit. The sensuality would satisfy the physical body, and that would give the body sensations, and that would allow you to feel things when you touch each other. And actually, I would even say that that satisfies the body and the mind, because obviously when you touch someone, they've got nerves. The nerves go to the brain, and the brain interprets what it is that that person is feeling, whether that's pleasurable or not. So you could say the body and the mind, but it's mostly the body that it satisfies. You could feel the sensations in your body and feel how good it is to be touched or to be licked or to be kissed or to be grabbed or to be held or whatever it is, caressed. So the sensual part is definitely a fun part of sex for sure, because now you're getting more, into it, and you're being able to show, again, you're kind of expressing yourself through sensuality. All right, so this is a big one for me. Hold on, y'all. This is a big one, particularly for me, because sex is, you know, one of those outlets for me. So creativity. Sex for me is something that I really resonate with, and I resonate with as a creative thinker. And sex for me is like a creative outlet. You could think about any kind of artist, you know, a musical artist, someone who paints, someone who draws. Sex is on that level for me, in terms of it being my canvas. It's where I can explore, and I can be, I can be innovative, and I can bring different things in that maybe no one else can bring in, because it's my creativity. It comes from my imagination and my mind. And that's important for me. Oh, we got a comment. Hold on, y'all. Being Me Perfectly says, one of my favorite parts of sex is the skin-to-skin contact. While I enjoy a good quickie, I also enjoy myself and my partner being fully naked. I can feel his chest against mine. Okay. So the sensual part is important for you as well. I agree. Thank you for that comment, by the way. Yeah, I agree. The sensuality is dope. Dope, dope, dope. And then Being Me Perfectly also says, such a heightened experience for me when our entire bodies are touching. Yeah, yeah. And I think what's going on there is the sensuality is coming together with the energetic connection, like I was saying. And I mean, it's something you can't really, again, when you're in a space where mentally you've let go and physically you've let go, you can experience some really, really intense things with sex. And maybe Being Me Perfectly already is aware of that, you know? Maybe you've reached certain levels already. Not to say like, you know, you're where you want to be with it, but maybe you've reached levels where you can, you know, get really intense and heightened experiences because of that. And that's really, that's awesome. I love it. I wish that for everybody. I really do. Let me put this back on. I didn't move my thing. All right. Thank you for that comment. Thank you for both of those comments. I appreciate it. So the creativity part. So yeah, so sex is like a place where I could use and express my imagination, basically. What some people would do with you know, with a pen and a paper, with a pencil and a paper, I would do with my tongue, or, you know, with my hands, or with my dick. You know, like it's equivalent to me. And I've said this before, but I believe that I've been in existence many times before this particular lifetime. And so I've experienced a lot of different things, and I've probably been someone who's explored a lot of different things in many different lifetimes. But in this particular one, sex is something that really resonates with me, and I haven't found anything else that resonates with me like sex does, even though I can do other creative things too. But sex definitely is one of those spaces where I feel like it's my playground to some degree, and I can really just enjoy it on a level that that doesn't have a lot of boundaries. The only boundaries are the ones that we set for one another when we're getting involved with sex. But outside of that, if the goal is to please or to enjoy pleasure together, then as long as you know the basics of how to do that, but you can still be open-minded enough and, I guess, creative-minded enough to, you know, play in that space, but still do your own thing, I think you might be onto something. Being Me Perfectly also says, I also enjoy his constant exploration of my body to increase my sexual experience and vice versa. And so I'm thinking you're meaning like him not being satisfied with something that maybe has worked before and still constantly and continually looking for other ways, maybe more creative ways to help you find pleasure. Is that what you mean? And vice versa, so you do the same as well. So there's kind of like a constant, like you said, exploration to find out what else you can do to get pleasure out of the situation. I like that too. That's really nice. That's the cool thing. That's one of the really cool things about sex, honestly, is that even if you've found a way that works with somebody, right? That might not be the only way. You know, like there could be other ways to get that person to enjoy sex and have pleasure. And so it's kind of like a constant thing. If you're with somebody for a while, yeah, you might find a lot of the spots, but not only do people's bodies changes, not only do people's preferences change over time, but also there are just a lot of other ways that you could help that person find pleasure. So I say, keep exploring. Don't stop exploring. Once you've mastered an area, once you've mastered something that works with that person, don't stop there. Keep going. Keep searching for new ways to help that person enjoy pleasure. And hopefully that person's doing the same for you as well. That way sex doesn't get stale or, you know, routine or monotonous, because it can get that way. I mean, if you do it for long enough, the same thing long enough, it'll get stale. So definitely keep exploring, keep looking for new ways. And if you can be creative with it as well, be creative. But again, as long as you have the basics of, you know, the human anatomy and physiology, you know, what makes the body react in certain ways, if you have a basic knowledge of that, then you can play in that space, but still have a lot of range to do your own thing. Just don't be content with knowing that, you know, you could get the person there quickly by just doing this. You know, don't be content with that. Look for other ways and look for, look for different options. Being Me Perfectly says, correct. There's no one way to come. We try to keep things exciting for each other. I like that. I like it. That's cool. I think that's awesome. That's really incredible. And it's good that y'all know that, you know, because some people don't. And so the fact that you know that and you're already being proactive and searching for different ways is really encouraging. Design Guru says, my favorite part of sex is the end. What do you mean by the end? Please explain. Do you mean the ejaculation part of it? Or do you mean something else? I'm curious. Or do you mean the end, like, you know, when it's all done, you're like, ooh, I'm glad this is over type of thing. I'm actually kind of curious about that. But yeah, the creativity thing, man, like I really like the fact that it gives me an opportunity to just kind of like do my thing. Okay, so Design Guru says, no, not orgasm. So you're saying that you don't enjoy the sex, so you're ready for it to be over when it's over. That's what I'm getting. Oh, you mean the satisfaction of maximum effort from both parties. So both of you are just lying in bed like, that was something, wasn't it? Kind of like that. Okay, I'm with it. I like that too. That part's fun, especially if I know I got a good workout in, because I like to definitely get a good workout if I can during sex. But, you know, that is a fun aspect of it when both of you are looking at each other at the end like, yeah, we did that shit, didn't we? You know, that's kind of dope. So I appreciate that comment, Design Guru. Thank you. So speaking of the creativity, Design Guru says, LOL, great impression. More of that, please. I got you. I'll try to do more acting and impressions if I can. When I spoke on a podcast early on in the podcast, I talked about how I was celibate or sexless for over a year and a half, right? And during that time, I remember in the last maybe 6 months, 4 months, whatever, I started to really feel like, yo, I got to get some type of like creative outlet but there's nothing that's equivalent to sex. I mean, masturbation only goes so far for me personally, because for me, masturbation is more of a release of tension and energy than it is a connection. And maybe that's something I need to work on, because that's me and me. So I should be, you know, feeling connected at least some of the times with masturbation. It shouldn't just be all about somebody else and wanting to have sex with somebody else. But being that I'm not in that space yet, I really started to get an itch for, you know, having a partner, a lover that I could get back to exploring and being creative with, because it really is something that allows me. It's like asking somebody who, you know, draws or sings, and or not asking them, but telling them they can't sing for a year and a half, or, you know, telling an artist he can't draw for a year and a half. There's really something there that you feel a void in some sense. And for me, I felt the void of that creativity and also the connection as well. So, but again, like I said, masturbation, there should be some level of connection with self during masturbation, but for a lot of us, it's really just something to get, you know, get some stuff out the way, clear some space, basically. Design Guru says, masturbation is celebration. I like that. Hell yeah. A short-lived celebration, but a celebration nonetheless. I agree. I'm not going to lie to you. Masturbation is, for me, masturbation has become very unfulfilling. When I say unfulfilling, it's super short-lived. Like, sometimes I don't even remember if I masturbated the day before or not. So it's kind of like, why even do it? Because, yeah, it's there, but I'd really like to work on having more of a intimate connection with masturbation. Maybe not every single time, but definitely more of a feeling towards it than just a physical act of getting some ejaculate out the way. Design Guru also says, like when you're having a great day, it's an awesome way to culminate an unexpected and thrilling personal moment. Okay, I don't think I've ever used it like that, but I like that. Okay. Let's say you had a good day. Let's say, you know, your boss gave you an award or some shit. Let's say you also, you know, you found $100 or something somewhere and there was no traffic coming home and you're just feeling like, man, this is my day. You know what I'm saying? Like today was a good day. Shout out Ice Cube. If you're having a day like that, I have not considered maybe, you know, lighting some candles, you know, setting the mood, maybe filling the tub up and soaking in there, and then just, you know, enjoying yourself, really celebrating, like you said, making masturbation a celebration as opposed to just an act to get some stuff out the way. I like that. Maybe that's something somebody else could use as well. Masturbation to celebrate a good day, the culmination of a good day. I'm with it. I'm learning today. So the last aspect of sex that I really enjoy is probably the aspect that most people enjoy, which is the pleasure aspect. I would say this is the mental and physical as well. This satisfies the mental and the physical aspects as well, because pleasure is something that you, but more of the mental. Pleasure is something that is interpreted in the brain as pleasure, and you have different hormones and things that are released that lets you know that you're in a pleasurable situation. And you can even get like a head high from it, you know, like a mental high, this feeling of like you're in another space or whatever. When I say you're in another space, for those of you who've done any kind of drugs, however you might feel on that, the ones that are the ones to kind of like mellow you out, that's the type of high I'm talking about you can get from the pleasure aspect. I think pleasure is probably one of the best parts of sex as well. And it's probably one of the reasons that most people have sex, for pleasure, outside of people having having children, having sex to conceive. I would say pleasure is the number one reason why people have sex. Everybody wants to have a good time and wants to feel good during sex. If you were just going in for the end of it, which is not what you said, Design Guru, I mean the end of it as in ejaculation, just the last part, then I mean, I guess there's people that do that as well, but I think that people tend to enjoy sex more when it's a good and pleasurable experience throughout, not just at the end. Because at the end, again, is a not orgasm necessarily, but ejaculation. That part is very short-lived, and it's something that, you know, you can get on your own. You know, you don't necessarily need another person for that. So I talked about the hormones that are released. Yeah. Why have sex? Like, really, why have sex if one or both of you are not receiving or giving pleasure, you know, or doing both? I enjoy doing both, but I mostly enjoy assisting others in receiving pleasure. That's my thing, because I'm a pleaser. Naturally, so it translates into sex as well, and I get a lot of joy and a lot of happiness from seeing somebody else pleasured or pleased by my actions in the bedroom. And that can be, you know, using different parts of my body, obviously, but however that occurs, that feels good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't lie, and it definitely does it for me. Now, I like to receive pleasure too, but I also realize that pleasure is a responsibility of the owner of that body, you know? So even though I enjoy helping people out with pleasure, it's not necessarily my responsibility. Your orgasm is your responsibility and your pleasure is your responsibility, for sure. I'm just there to assist. And sometimes you meet people that are better at assisting than others. That's all. So, you know, at times I'm a better assister than people have had in the past. Sometimes I'm sure I wasn't, but I do my best to provide a level of assistance and pleasure that I would want for myself as well. And I'm able to maintain my own ability to receive pleasure throughout an experience, even while I'm focusing on the other person. So when you get to that level, which a lot of people are able to do that, when you get to that level, now you can enjoy sex in a really, in a mutually gratifying way, as opposed to just focusing on that other person, you know? So I really love the feeling of being inside a pussy. And sorry for y'all that, you know, maybe don't like certain terms or get offended, but being inside the pussy is it's magical. It's something special. I know I've seen people compare it to other things, warm apple pie and all kind of other shit. I don't know what that feels like because I never felt a warm apple pie on my dick. But it doesn't matter. Even if I did, it wouldn't be special. All right. There's something magical and delightful that happens, you know, when you're inside of that. And it's something that even they've tried to replicate. You know, they've tried to create you know, a pocket pussy, which is synthetic, which I'm not knocking, a synthetic full body doll. It might not be called doll. It might be called something else, but I'll get back to you on that. But either way, I'm sure all of that has some level of pleasure and sensuality, obviously, but it can't replicate what a life creating, you know, anatomical part gives, if that makes any sense. So being inside of an organic, living thing that creates life, not that creates life, but where, you know, life is created somewhere in that area, in the vulva, or within, the uterus, obviously, but, it's something special, man. And so the pleasure that I receive from that is more than enough. Yeah, it's a great experience. For those of you who have not had the experience, hopefully you can, and hopefully you can enjoy it the way I do. John Smith says, I feel good pussy is more often than bad pussy. Well, you would have to clarify what good and bad are, because for me, there is no bad. I'm sorry. The only thing that's different between the way vaginas feel is the tightness or the looseness around my penis. That's about it. Sorry. I mean, but I want to hear your, you know, what bad and good is for you. But I think it's a wonderful place to be, no matter who's on the other side of it, as long as it's consensual and healthy and safe. But outside of that, yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And when you say you feel good pussy is more often than bad pussy, are you saying like you experience good more than you do bad? Is that what you mean? And if so, that's great. You know, I'm happy for you, because I would hate for it to be the other way around. I would recommend or suggest you doing some positive affirmations or some law of attraction exercises to get the right kind of pussy in your life, because if you had it the other way around, then yeah. Design Guru says bad equals lack of willingness and exploration, good equals maximum effort. Okay. All right, I can see that. All right. All right. But if I'm talking about just the feel doesn't, for me, just doesn't incorporate the effort and the willingness and exploration. That to me is a overall great sexual experience versus a good one or an okay one, or in some cases, not so great, you know, but that's not the pussy itself. That's the experience. That's not that great because everything else didn't line up or everything else wasn't in order. We weren't in the same space, but great answer though. I like that. John Smith says, I just feel that this idea of bad, loose, dry isn't really a good thing for me. Okay. All right. I mean, you don't necessarily have to, you know, label it anything, to be honest. I was labeling all of them as awesome, but you don't have to do that either. You can have different descriptions of them however you feel comfortable. But I wasn't saying bad or loose. I was saying some are looser or tighter around the penis than others. That's the only difference that I can feel, but they all are wonderful. They're all special to me. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, you don't have to put a label on it. I'm actually not a big fan of putting labels on anything animate anyway, in terms of humans, for sure. Not a big fan of labels at all, because I think it usually closes us, boxes us in a little bit and limits us in terms of our capabilities. That statement is me commenting against this pop narrative about pussy. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. People be saying some weird shit out there in the world. But in this space, you do not have to worry about that. In this space, all pussies are welcome and all pussies are wonderful. And that's just coming from me. Can't speak for anybody else, but I love them all. Thank you for that comment too. That's a good commentary. Does anybody else have anything they want to add about maybe their favorite parts about sex? I've had a couple people kind of speak out and say what their favorite parts are, but maybe somebody else out there wants to add a little something. So I'll give you some time to do that. I will say this in closing, that when these five things come together, it's like Captain Planet. I don't know if anybody has ever watched Captain Planet, but when these powers combine, you know, they form something very special in a sexual experience, and you're able to experience sex on a level that is not just mental, not just physical, and not even just spiritual. None of those by themselves are as gratifying as when everything comes together. So if you get a chance, maybe take what I've said today and maybe add one in, add two of them in, do what you got to do. And try to see if you're able to increase the intensity of your sexual pleasure, because that's what we're all about. That's what I'm all about. I want people to experience sex on a level where maybe they never imagined they could experience sex. I mean, experience sex on a level where they are blown away by their partner. They're blown away by the whole experience. That's what I want people to experience. I want everybody who's having sex consensually as adults and safely, to experience sex in a way that it makes them look at the world a little bit differently. That's the kind of sex I'm talking about. So hopefully these little tips that I put in there could kind of help you. These tips that I put in there, pun intended. I like that. John Smith does have another comment. So John Smith says, I'm a young guy, 20, and I'm 8 cut. Okay. And I had a girl say that it's not that she didn't enjoy it. It's just that she had a deep pussy. So I'm just trying to get more understanding on how to be better. Okay, that's what's up. I appreciate that. So I assume that the 8 is 8 inches is what you're saying. Okay. Okay. So we're going to go into a quick lesson about the anatomy of the vagina, just real quick, just so we could, you know, give John some more, you know, some more insight, because that's what we're here for. We're here to talk it out, get more information. So depth is not as important as accuracy or pinpointing certain areas that are more sensitive to pleasure within the vagina. Obviously, you have the cervix in the back of the vagina that, you know, if you're able to stimulate that enough, then orgasm can occur and pleasure can occur as well. But near the front, maybe within the first 2 inches, maybe 2 to 3 inches on the top. I'm gonna try to explain this with my hands because I don't have any kind of diagrams or anything. But all right, if you're looking at a clock, between the 3 o'clock and the 9 o'clock position, between the 3 o'clock and the 9 o'clock position, right? On the top, towards the front wall of the vagina, the upper front wall of the vagina, within the first 2 to 3 inches, you'll find what's called the G-spot or the G-spot area, because it's actually an area. It's not like a spot. It's not a button like people have talked about in the past. It's actually an area. If you can get to that, then you can explore pleasure with that person in a whole nother way. The way to find that area is after proper stimulation, which means take your time, let blood flow to all the different parts of her body. And once you're in that space where she's aroused enough, now you or she can use either the middle finger, no disrespect to anybody who's seeing this, or the index finger, or both, if she can fit both, or if both can fit, and do a motion like this. It's funny trying to do this on camera, which is like a come hither motion. And you should feel on the top upper wall or the front upper wall of the vagina, you should feel something that feels like the roof of your mouth. It's kind of like has ridges on it, and it's going to feel different from the rest of the inside of the vagina. So you should be able to find it in that way. And if you don't feel it easily, then chances are she's not aroused enough. So maybe do a little bit more kissing, some more caressing, some more grabbing, not grabbing, fondling, I say grabbing. Maybe there might be a little bit of choking in there as well, if it's consensual, of course. Everything is with consent. Get her more aroused, and then you should be able to feel that at some point. But that should help in terms of, since your concern was depth. Depth is not as important as people may make it seem. It's more about knowing where to go if we're talking about helping people experience pleasure. Hopefully that helps you out. I know that was a very small lesson, but it's a lesson that could definitely make a difference. And obviously, too, try to focus on positions that give the clitoris a little bit more attention, because a lot of women actually do not experience maximum pleasure or orgasm without direct stimulation of the clitoris, and that without direct stimulation from the clitoris. So that includes penetrative sex as well. Most women actually don't orgasm from penetrative sex because the clitoris gets forgotten, and the clitoris still needs to be taken care of even when there's penetration involved. So even easier than the G-spot, it's just focus more attention on the clitoris when you're, you know, penetrating the vagina with the penis. All right. Hopefully that helps, John. Design Guru says, I appreciate partners who love honesty about the things they want. In many cases, there's often undiscovered alignment. You're right. If you talk about it, then you can find out what each other likes, and it might surprise you. You know, y'all might actually be exactly on the same page, but before you communicated that, maybe y'all thought y'all were incompatible sexually. You know, y'all might have thought that the other person doesn't know what they're doing or isn't that good, but really, y'all just need to have a conversation about it. I think conversations around sex is really important. That's all I'm gonna say. I think it's really important. And being honest, obviously, is a big thing as well. And no need to lie about it. My bad. I had to take me a little swig because I've been talking a lot. Yeah, sorry. John Smith says, thumbs up. I appreciate you, man. Hopefully that helps. Don't forget about the clit. Don't forget about the clit. Never forget about the clit. Even when you're inside the vagina, don't forget about the clit because it always appreciates the extra attention. Design Guru says, undiscovered things that are hard to admit, such as wanting to be dominated, which may have nothing to do with penetration, etc. Oh, okay. John, I don't know if you're listening, but Design Guru is dropping some knowledge right here. Maybe if y'all have a conversation around sex too, you might find out what she's into. But if you don't get to that, then you could still do some of the other things and maybe work your way to that as well. But I think that's a good point. Because that is probably hard to admit for some people. Or how would you say that? Like, I want you to control me in a sense, or, you know, dominate me in the bedroom without the other person looking like, huh? Like, you know, real surprised or feeling some kind of way. So that's why it's so important to have that open dialogue when it comes to sex, y'all. Like, I really want people to take this, I don't want to say shyness, but this idea that sex can't be spoken about openly, and let's get rid of that, man. Slowly but surely, let's get rid of that, because the more you talk about sex with somebody that you're having sex with, the better the sex will get, because people will know what each other wants, and there'll be a lot more, you know, there'll just be there won't be so many surprises, you know. If this person knows that that person likes that, then they'll do that more. Obviously, too, we want some things left to be found out within the moment and stuff like that. But if you could talk about it beforehand, about certain things like, you know, like that, I think that helps. And I think that can definitely improve your sex life. So don't be so afraid or shy to talk about what it is you like or what you want. And maybe you don't know what you like or want. That's possible too. I mean, maybe you don't know. Maybe you could talk it out and realize that, okay, I don't know if I like that, but I'm willing to try that, you know? And that's something else as well, like being willing to try things that maybe you aren't sure about, but maybe you have some curiosity around, you know? Again, as long as it's done consensually, amongst adults, and I say amongst adults because there's a fine line of like the age that people should start having sex and shouldn't. I'm not here to tell people what age they should start having sex. So I just say consenting adults because it's easier. If you're an adult, then and you're doing it consensually, then definitely consider talking about it so you can have a better time and a better experience. Anybody else got any more questions before I get out of here? Or comments, questions or comments, I'll take either. This was a fun conversation, though. Of course it was a fun conversation. We was talking about sex. How could it not be fun? You feel me? I mean, come on. One of the best types of conversations to have amongst anybody. All right, y'all. Well, if there are no more comments or concerns or questions, oh, Design Guru had one more comment. Fire all the way through. I appreciate you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for another wonderful conversation on the Sex Mechanic Podcast. I look forward to next week's episode where there may be a change of scenery in the background because I may be in Miami, possibly. But I haven't made the decision. I haven't confirmed the decision yet. So I'll let people know when I know for sure. But I appreciate y'all. I really thank y'all for being on tonight and providing your own commentary and allowing me to be a part of that, you know, and joining me in this conversation. This was episode number 34 of the Sex Mechanic Podcast, and I'll see you all next week. All right. Y'all take it easy and have some good sex tonight, hopefully.